Have you ever been out walking in the snow? Tried to get back where you were before? You always end up not knowing where to go. Have you ever been out walking in the snow?
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Commonway Midweek. My name is Gus. I'm the college pastor here at Commonway. Thank you for being with us. We're going to hop into 1 Peter here in just a second, but just some kind of housekeeping announcements, I suppose. So you may be watching this live on Church Online on Thursday night at 7 p.m., which is great, but we also post these videos on YouTube and on Facebook after the fact, after our live broadcast on Thursday night, and really we're finding out people mostly are watching these just throughout the week on their own time. So from now on, that's going to be primarily where we send people for these videos, or YouTube and Facebook. And you can watch it on Church Online live if you're there. But we're not necessarily doing a live Thursday night at 7 p.m. service. We'll just put them out the same time on Thursdays. But you can watch them throughout the week on your own time and just find them on Facebook or YouTube. So without any further ado, let's jump in to 1 Peter chapter 5. And if you've been with us, you know, we're going through 1 Peter one book at a time. And this is our last week in 1 Peter. And we're going to focus on the very end of Peter's teaching in the whole book, but that would be at the end of chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, which are the last four verses before his just kind of final personal greeting. So they truly are the end of his teaching, and we're just going to march through those four verses one at a time. So let's read together 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So like I said, we're going to just go through these verses one at a time. So we'll start in verse 8, which is, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So right off the bat, we see Peter saying the same thing he's already said a couple of times in his letter. Be alert and sober-minded. Way back in chapter 1, Peter mentioned this very early in his letter, and we actually went through it if you've been with us in our midweek services. In chapter 1, he says, keep your minds alert and fully sober. And then again in chapter 4, verse 7, he writes, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. So there it is again. Be clear-minded and self-controlled. You know, if we were to read Peter's letter and not take this away, we'd be missing something, because he hammers it over and over again. He reminds us that we should be alert. We need to keep our minds sharp, but we also need to have some balance to not get too woozy one way or the other. And this phrase that he uses again and again in a commentary I was reading this week mentioned that it might actually pull up some military visuals for the original audience, and it would maybe have military connotations of like a watchtower, being alert in a watchtower, or I was thinking like the crow's nest of a ship. And if I'm up in the crow's nest on a ship, I better be alert. I better be sober-minded as well. you know, you don't want somebody up there who's just kind of, their mind is wandering, not really paying attention, just kind of being woozy up there. No, no. You want to be alert and sober-minded. And that's what Peter is saying to us. Keep somebody up in the crow's nest of your life. Don't just float along blindly. You know, keep an eye out. And there are a few things that are implied by Peter saying that. And one of them would be that, you know, first off, if we're supposed to be alert, that must mean there's the possibility of some troubles headed our way. Why else would we need to keep alert except for the fact that some hardship might be in our path? You know, following Jesus is not our ticket to a life free of hardship and trials. If you don't believe me, Exhibit A, the year 2020 has kind of been a global train wreck, and we're a part of that. And rather than just try to stay at home and hunker down as believers and just deny any troubles or just go blindly, you know, out to sea, Peter tells us, put somebody in the crow's nest, put somebody in the watchtower, stay alert. You know, every buddy road trip comedy ever made, or just a lot of movies in general, there's a scene where a bunch of characters are in the back of a van or an RV or a bus, yucking it up, having a great time, when suddenly one character kind of looks around at everybody and then looks at the driver's seat and says, hold on a minute, who's driving this thing? And I think sometimes that can happen to our life, where I'm kind of yucking it up, I'm kind of just having a great time, enjoying the flood of sedation and distraction offered to me, when all of a sudden I feel a bump in the road in my life, and I go, who's driving this thing? And Peter tells us, don't do that. Don't get caught in that situation. Make sure you keep yourself alert. Make sure somebody's in the driver's seat, and make sure you're sober-minded as well. Now, you might say, well, this is a bummer that I just have to spend my whole life, you know, on edge in a watchtower, just waiting for the devil to pounce on me. And luckily, unlike life in a watchtower or in a crow's nest, we are not all alone, just looking for trouble to come our way. Verse 9 is what we're at now. If you look there, it says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Peter has said, be alert, because the enemy is lurking around. And here he continues, saying, don't just be alert, resist evil, but you're going to be able to do that because you're not all on your own, because other believers around the world are going through this with you. Which, what a perfect verse for us during this time and all we're going through with the pandemic. I know I have said out loud a number of times and then just thought to myself, you know, I'm comforted by the fact that everyone else is going through the same thing. It's not just me. We're all going through it. And that's, without having read this verse, that's just a kind of a natural feeling that I think comes up during this. I found myself reaching out to people for no other reason than the fact that I just feel like I need people to lean on, that I just need it. And I found myself calling relatives that I don't normally call because I want to make sure they're okay. And it's just nice to have the presence of someone with me who, when I'm having a hard day, they can just say, yeah, me too. It's been hard for us too. And that's actually, that solidarity is comforting. It's been a lifeline a number of days for me to call a friend or family member and just remember, oh yeah, they're in the same boat with me. I'm not on my own. Now, the question that begs to be asked is, why in the world are we saving that principle for a global pandemic? Why would I make solidarity exclusive to disaster? And Peter is actually prescribing solidarity to us as a survival method. And it is kind of odd that in isolation, I've become way more reliant on solidarity. As I'm pushed into isolation, I can feel my need for companionship way more acutely than normal. But what an absolute shame if when things go back to normal and when the comforts of busyness and distraction come back, that I lose my desire for solidarity. And when things go back to normal, I go back to not calling people on my bad days, because normally I just handle it on my own. And I think Peter is reminding us, in part, that actually bad days are universal. And part of what makes life bearable sometimes is that you can share the load with someone else. Verse 9 also includes the phrase, stand firm in the faith. But verse 10 is really where Peter doubles down on this idea. Let's read there. Peter writes, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." So we do need to stay alert, but we're not just alone, just waiting to get jumped. You know, we have people across the world standing with us, and together we are stronger. But then here in verse 10, Peter adds even more hope that we are not just some huddled mass just riding it out, but that the faith I can stand firm in, the faith that I can stand strong in, is that after suffering comes restoration and strength. This verse has actually been really relevant and present in my life recently outside of our study here, because the CCO, the campus ministry organization that we partner with here at Commonway, has been using 1 Peter 5:10 as a guiding verse during this pandemic time and kind of the search for direction. As an organization, we keep coming again and again back to this whole passage we're looking at today, but particularly verse 5:10 as a guide. And listen to this email that our president sent out to the entire organization last week. And he's got some insights from 1 Peter 5:10 that are a little bit better than mine. He writes, 1 Peter holds two important realities in tension, a real threat and a real opportunity. We are positioned to lead and witness to an eternal reality in the midst of a very real threat, to stand firm in our faith, praying for healing and wisdom for the impact of COVID-19 is having on our society and world, and to continue to trust the Lord as we point each other towards Christ, knowing that He is the one who will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us for His glory. I love that language, that 1 Peter holds in tension two important realities, a real threat and a real opportunity. I think because that's what the churches that Peter was writing to, they were going through that, where they were under a real threat of oppression. But with that, Peter was saying, there's a real opportunity there. And I think at best, that's what our time in the pandemic can be. A real threat, yes, but also, through the goodness of God, a real opportunity for restoration and strength. Peter's words point us to something better than just going back to the way things were. He reminds us that God's nature is not to do that. His nature is to create a new normal that's even better, to restore us, which almost means to give us a character that we didn't have before, and then to strengthen us and make us more firm and steadfast than we were before. And what a challenge, what a call to faith, to believe that God will restore us, that God will make us stronger than we were before. Which leads us to verse 11. Let's read together. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. To me be the power, to this or that be the power. Maybe God's with us. Maybe he's there, maybe he's not. No. Peter writes, to him be the power forever and ever. And this is a statement of praise at the end of all of Peter's teaching. At the end of everything he's saying is praise. That if I believe God can and will restore us, even through this suffering, that he will stand us back up stronger than we were before, then what better response do I have than praise? And to say, amen. And to say, to you be the power forever and ever. Reading Peter when he writes that, it reminds me of Paul and Silas when they were in jail praying and singing hymns in a jail cell. They had the reality of a real and present threat, but still praised. And if you haven't done it, take time to praise. Take time to say, God, my hope is in you having the power. My hope is in you holding all the cards. Restore us. Please restore us and make us stronger. We praise you for that character. To you be the power. And I think praise is a way for us, like Paul and Silas did in the jail cell, for us in the reality of a threat to trust in the reality of an opportunity that God presents. With that in mind, we're going to end our time with a song of praise, which sounds kind of old and churchy, but I think that's what we ought to do, is to praise together. So let's sing together, and then we'll see you next week as we start 2 Peter chapter 1 together.
Amazing Grace, take 8. We're shooting for 11.
Forbear to shine.